Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This week, we're continuing our look at the book of Hebrews as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
Don't let anybody tell you that the church began on the day of Pentecost. Jesus began the church. On the day of Pentecost, the church was empowered to do what God had told them to do. Jesus had told them to do, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He told them, you wait and you will be endued with power from on high. And that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. So the church began during Jesus' ministry, not on the day of Pentecost. And this is another text to show that I will sing in the midst of the church, will I sing praise unto thee. Again, the thought is, how can you sing in a church if it's not in existence? Obviously, the church was in existence. Let's move on to verse number 13. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. Remember when I told you, beginning our studies in the book of Hebrews, that no other book in the New Testament quotes the Old Testament like the book of Hebrews. Remember I mentioned that? All through the New Testament, from Matthew, there's 27 books, from Matthew to Revelation, the book of Hebrews looks back in the Old Testament, takes passages out of the Old Testament, all through the book of Hebrews more than any other book in the New Testament. Why is that? Because it's the book of Hebrews. They had the Old Testament. So he would take verses out of the Old Testament, bring it something they would be familiar with. And here again in verse number 13 is a passage of scripture that they would be familiar with. He already quoted the previous verse, Psalm 22:22. Well, this one's from Isaiah 8:18. Verse number 13 in Hebrews chapter number 2 is a quote from Isaiah 8:18 that says this, behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me, and it continues on. The same quote we find in Hebrews chapter number 2, verse number 13. Behold, I and the children which God hath given me. By the way, aren't you glad that we're a love gift to the Father? John, to Christ, we're literally God's love gift to the Son. We are God's love gift to the Son. That's how I should say it. In John chapter number 17, verse number 6, this is Jesus' prayer. By the way, just a reminder, when they talk about the Lord's Prayer, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, that's a model prayer. Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples to pray. That's not what we call, quote unquote, Lord's Prayer. That's the model prayer. We find the Lord's Prayer, actual prayer, in John chapter number 17. And then in verse number 6, he says this, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou hast gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Then verse number 9 through 12, I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and mine and thine are mine, and I'm glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own those that thou hast given me, that they may be one, as we are one. So we see what it's talking about here in Hebrews chapter number 13, where it says that God has given me. What a blessing to know that we're a love gift. Because of our salvation, we're a love gift. Let's move on. Now, we're in the morning lesson today. Verses 14 and 15, I would say, would be the most important section of scriptures that we're in these few verses. It's kind of the highlight, if you will, in verses number 14 and 15. Up to this point, in Hebrews chapter number 2, Paul has declared the fact of the sufferings of Christ. He has also set forth certain results of these sufferings. And in verses 14 and 15, he begins to point out the necessity of Christ's sufferings, or literally why Christ had to become flesh. We know that he did. And we know what the reason is, you know, the results of it. But why did he have to do this? Well, it's because he himself, the incarnation of Jesus Christ, when it says in verse number 14, "Forasmuch then as the children are partakers of the flesh, of flesh and blood," stop right there before we read any farther, okay? As the children are partakers of flesh and blood, speaking of us, flesh, blood, that human element in our bodies and all, well, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Why did he become flesh? We're fixing to find out. But he's setting out that fact that because we're flesh and blood, he, Jesus Christ himself, also took upon himself that flesh and blood, something he did not have before. Before the incarnation, before the virgin birth, he did not have this human flesh. He did not have the blood like we, are y'all following, like we would have. Very important. Notice that. He himself, that's in the incarnation, took part of the same that we could be called brothers. He took upon himself humanity. Still all God, 100% God, but he became 100% man. That, here's the reason. Why did he do that? That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Now, this is something I read some commentators, and it is a difficult passage to understand, that the devil, the Bible tells us that the devil has the power of death. I thought that Jesus, that God controlled it all, he does. But you know, Satan has, remember the story about Job? And what happened to Job, and God said, okay, you can do anything you want, just you cannot take his life. If God would not have told Satan you can't take his life if Satan hadn't had the ability. Are you following? You do everything else, but you can't take his life. He has the power of death. The thought is here that, let me back up a little bit. That he had taken, Jesus Christ took upon himself the flesh and blood. So we're straight here. We can understand that his flesh was not from man. He was the flesh of a woman. Came from Mary. Hope you all understand. His blood did not come from Joseph. His blood literally come from God. Now, I'll never forget. And Jim Gage is not here, so I can say this. He's back in Columbia. When I first was in Columbia, we were talking about some things, and I was teaching a class, and I mentioned the word spermaceed, how it was, and he, whoa, don't say that, don't say that here. I don't know why he didn't want to say that. The word seed is the word, the Greek word sperma, and it's used many times in Scripture. I want you to see this in Matthew. Let's skip Matthew. Let's go to Luke chapter number 1. I got so many verses here written down. Let's go to Luke chapter 1, verse number 35. We'll forget Matthew. Verse number 35. Remember the story. "And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee." Can't understand all this. You can't either. Mary couldn't either. "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Holy Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." All right. Nobody can explain the virgin birth, but somehow God implanted into that Virgin Mary the seed of God. The blood that ran through Jesus' veins when he died on the cross of Calvary, he shed his blood. It was not the blood of man, it was the blood of God.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious Word. And come visit us this Saturday, April 8th at 6 p.m. to hear the Old Paths Quartet in concert. That's this Saturday at 6 p.m. at the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. We hope to see you there. Well, from now until tomorrow, May God bless you richly, is our prayer.